Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are The Man Who Invented Christmas, Lady Bird, and The Disaster Artist. Hi, David. How are you? Did you like Lady Bird?
Well, we'll get to that one in a moment, if you don't mind.
No.
We don't want to give away all our secrets right at the outset.
We don't.
Last week, I did my modest share in introducing the holiday season by talking about, among other films, My Friend Dahmer. about serial killer. Hey, it's not my fault that they released the thing in the holiday season.
ho, let's eat.
But anyway, but no, I've been talking about slightly more sort of upbeat films than that. That's a pretty good movie, by the way, for anybody who did not hear that episode of the show. But this week I thought it would be nice to get a little bit more into the holiday spirit by talking about a movie which has also just been released, The Man Who Invented Christmas. And that title seems a bit sort of aggressively sort of folksy and homespun and upbeat to me. But in a way, that sort of is what the movie is about, because it is about Charles Dickens and his writing of A Christmas Carol, which is one of his short novels. It's a wonderful novel. I've read it more than once, although not for quite a number of years now, and it's always been a favorite book of mine. It is sort of itself kind of corny, but it's a beautiful story. And Charles Dickens wrote it at a time when his career was not going full blast. He was one of the most famous writers in the world and a hugely popular writer, but he had just written three flops in a row, a book of, I guess they were sort of travel pieces, and his novel Martin Chuzzlewit, which I've always considered quite underrated, and Barnaby Rudge. So anyway, three books of his had not done well, and he was not in a good way, and so he really wanted to come up with something popular, and he ended up coming up with something, of course, that was hugely popular, the short novel A Christmas Carol. And that is why this film is called The Man Who Invented Christmas. Now, this is not a documentary. It is, in fact, a fiction movie based on these events, directed by Bharat Naluri. It stars Dan Stevens as Charles Dickens. And this is a fairly young Charles Dickens. Dickens was not all that old when he died. He sort of worked himself to death. He was just astoundingly prolific during his life and was always writing a lot to make money and support his family and all that. But this deals with a fairly youngish Charles Dickens, still in the prime of life and in the prime of his career, once he got it sort of restarted, rebooted, as we might say nowadays, with A Christmas Carol. So Dan Stevens plays him in this very a folksy and over-the-top and friendly way. And it's a very amiable performance is what I'm trying to say. It's a very likable performance, and it really anchors the movie. Now, along the way, we not only have the story of Dickens in the present day running around and looking for an inspiration, something he can write about, and we see him hearing little phrases and things that he sort of takes a mental note of because, oh, that'll fit in the book pretty well. We see all that kind of thing, but we also have two other strands going on in the movie. One is diversions into fantasy when we see little episodes from the novel as it is being created, playing themselves out in Dickens' mind. And here we have, among other people, the very fine actor Christopher Plummer, who appears as Ebenezer Scrooge. And so we have scenes with Scrooge and some other characters from the famous novel. And then we also have flashbacks to Dickens' past, and scenes in the present day involving his father and mother, and his father is the more important character there, John Dickens, played by Jonathan Pryce. So those are really the main actors of the piece. There are also some women in the movie, and Mrs. Dickens, for example, both Mrs. Dickens, his mother, and his wife, and various others. Simon Callow appears for a little while as the artist who Dickens wants to do the illustrations for the book, and who is reluctant to at at first because he can't imagine any of these things, but of course ends up doing what became very famous illustrations as well, a guy named Leach. So that is what The Man Who Invented Christmas is. I read many, many, many years ago that when Dickens was a boy, and he had a very kind of a tormented childhood, and this figures in the movie a little bit too. Dickens's father was carted off to debtor's prison, and Dickens had to go to work in a bootblack factory, which was absolutely horrifying and shaped him for the rest of his life, that the horrible memories of that. We have that a bit in the movie as well. But I read once many years ago that when Dickens was a little kid, there was just a streak where London was having a whole lot of snow, and there was snow around a lot. And it was really cold and there was snow. And so Dickens put snow into a lot of his books in the winter scenes, and especially in A Christmas Carol, or not especially, but including that. And so in a way, Dickens was somebody who sort of invented that idea of the white Christmas, which we now have with us, and the famous Bing Crosby song and all of that. So all of this kind of figures into the novel, all this business about Dickens and how he was as a young man and how he was as a child and how his family helped to shape him and so forth. So The Man Who Invented Christmas is by no means a great movie, but it's a very likable movie, a very amiable movie, a very Christmassy movie, and it's a very nice film, especially if people want to see sort of a family film over the holidays. You could do a whole lot worse than choosing The Man Who Invented Christmas. Next of all, Lady Bird. Let's talk about Lady Bird, which you were so eager to find out my opinion of. And my opinion of it is that it is overrated, certainly not a bad movie, but this is another one of those films which critics everywhere are going, have been going, because it's been out a little while already, have been going simply mad over. Lady Bird, what a wonderful, fabulous, terrific movie. And I think part of that is the sort of Greta Gerwig cult. Greta Gerwig does not appear in Lady Bird, but she directed it. And in fact, she wrote and directed it. So this is really her first feature. There was one other feature which she co-directed with Joe Swanberg, but this is her first feature as a solo director. And she both wrote it and directed it. So Greta Gerwig has got, there's a whole lot of critics especially who just sort of worship at the shrine of Greta Gerwig. She can sort of do no wrong. And she is a very, very, she's a talented actress and she's a very prolific actress. She's been in a whole lot of movies, mostly of the sort of independent sort of, you know, American indie kind of film. I've never quite gotten the Greta Gerwig cult. I feel she's a talented actress, but she's not all that special. So now she comes out with her first movie as writer-director, and it's a very nice movie, but I think the tremendous accolades that have been heaped upon it are kind of a continuation of this cult of Greta Gerwig as an incredibly great actress, which I don't agree with. And now I don't think she's an incredibly great writer-director, although, again, it's a very, very nice movie, and it's a very promising debut for Greta Gerwig. So the movie is about a very young woman. In fact, she's a high school student getting near the end of high school, and her name is Christine, but she calls herself Lady Bird. She has bestowed on herself this not just nickname, but that's what she goes by, Lady Bird. At one point, a skeptic asks her, is this your given name? And she says, yes. And it turns out, well, she gave it to herself. So she is... She is a high school student, and she is going through what so many high school students go through. She is trying to find herself, and that is very emphatically what this movie is about this young woman trying to find herself. So she has very nice parents, but she doesn't, and she likes them. They get along well, but of course there are the little quarrels and disagreements and differences that go on within a family. Then there is her Catholic high school that she goes to in California. And she finds a kind of oppressive kind of a place. And she sometimes tries to shock everybody and break out of the mold by being outrageous. And of course, she has a romance. And because this movie is probably pretty darn autobiographical for Greta Gerwig, she is acting in a school play. And she's thinking about what she's going to do next in her life, going to college. Where is she going to go to college? Disagreements with her parents over that and so forth. So that is what the movie is about. Now, the movie is mainly of value, I think, as kind of an acting movie. Saoirse Ronan plays Lady Bird. Wonderful performance by such a gifted young actress. And I also want to just sort of single out Laurie Metcalf plays her mother, Marion McPherson. And the terrific actor and playwright, Chasey Letts, is especially good as her father, Larry McPherson. He's a really good actress, and I like him a lot. And then there's also Lois Smith as an old nun who teaches in the school. So a very, very good cast, a lot of very, very nice performances. I can't say that I ever found Lady Bird very exciting, and the end of it has this sort of open-ended, well, she still isn't sure who she is, but at least she's come to accept that her name really is Christine, and she doesn't have to go around impressing the world all the time. And it has this kind of open-ended feeling to it, which is on one hand very nice because it doesn't tie everything up into a neat Hollywood bow, but on the other hand is a kind of thing we've seen in about a million movies before this. So I found Lady Bird a likable movie, but not worth, again, all of the praise that has been heaped upon it. I really recommend it if you want to see a modest, small antidote to the big Hollywood blockbusters, but I can't really say that it's going to be one of my favorite movies when I come to toting up all of my favorites at the end of the year, which is coming pretty soon. And finally, a word or two about The Disaster Artist. This is a movie which is directed by and starring James Franco, and it has a little bit of an unusual history. Some years ago, a movie came out by a guy named Tommy Wiseau, who wrote and directed it, and this movie is called The Room. Okay, it came out way back in 2003. And The Room almost immediately garnered a reputation as one of the worst movies ever made. Well, I've seen The Room, and The Room is, in fact, a terrible movie. It's not uproariously terrible, like you sit there and howl at it and hoot at it. It's just boring terrible. And it seems to be an act of tremendous ego from Tommy Wiseau, who wrote it, directed it, produced it, stars in it, did all these things, and did a pretty bad job, one must candidly say, in all departments. So The Room became known as this kind of camp classic, a terrible, terrible movie. Oh, it's about this rich guy who lives in this lovely house, and he has this this fiance, and she gets involved with his best friend and that sort of thing. And it's just a really badly done movie, but it's been around for quite a number of years now, and again, it's acquired this sort of cult reputation. So The Disaster Artist is a movie about the making of that film, The Room. That's what it's about. And James Franco, who directed the movie, he plays the main character, Tommy Wiseau, who is kind of a mysterious guy. He has lots and lots of money. He has enough money to make a movie and totally finance it himself. And he lives this really nice places and stuff like that. Nobody knows how he got his money. Nobody knows where he's really from. He claims to be from New Orleans, but he has this weird accent that nobody can figure out. And all of this is based on real life and so forth. So that is what The Disaster Artist is about. We have James Franco playing Tommy Wiseau, and it is all about the making of Tommy Wiseau's movie, based on Tommy Wiseau's movie. And at the end, we see little bits from Tommy Wiseau's movie juxtaposed with bits from James Franco's movie. Now, I must say that James Franco is a tremendously talented guy and a tremendously smart guy. And he has made he's made about a jillion movies, even though he's still fairly young. He's a really, really major movie actor, been in a lot of movies, some of which are good, some of which are not good. So he's been in a lot of movies, and he's also been a director. He's directed quite a number of movies, often, or I should say sometimes, based on literary classics, which are very hard to adapt. I'll just mention a couple. Cormac McCarthy's very strange and dark novel, Child of God. William Faulkner's The Sound and the Fury, William Faulkner's As I Lay Dying. So Franco has a very, very ambitious streak as a director in terms of doing sort of major sort of literary projects. The Disaster Artist falls at a very different part of the scale. It is very much a comedy. It's only a dark comedy in the sense that it's about the making of a bad movie and about all the jillion things that go wrong with it. And it is about how Tommy Wiseau, the real life person who was being played by James Franco in this movie, it apparently has such an astounding ego that he doesn't realize how bad all of the stuff is, all the decisions that he's making moment to moment are. He just doesn't seem to realize this. Reminds me in certain ways of our president, but don't get me started on that. So The Disaster Artist is an amusing film. It's sort of a dark film, again, in that way, in that it's about a project which goes horribly wrong. And at the end, it sort of gets redeemed, but in a very ironic way, which I won't give away. I would recommend going out and having a look at The Room. It's easily available on DVD and so forth. If you want to really have the full effect of The Disaster Artist, you won't have a very good time looking at The Room unless you really have some friends over and drink a lot of beer. Then you might have a very, very good time with it. The Disaster Artist has, again, it's another movie that's gotten a tremendous amount of praise from a tremendous number of critics. I liked it. I found some things in it very funny. I found whole stretches of it, however, just not all that exciting. Sort of mildly interesting to watch, but no more than that. So it's another movie which I would put in the category of Lady Bird, although in this case made by somebody with much more directing experience. It's a good movie, not a great movie. You'll have a good time at it if you want to see an alternative to the big Hollywood blockbusters that are flooding the screen nowadays, as always. And so that is my semi-holiday season movie, a story this week, Jill.
Question of whether it's ho-ho-ho or Bah Humbug, my personal favorite. Thank you very much.
Maybe Ho Ho Hum.
Yeah, I mean, even better. This is why we keep you on the air. Thank you very much, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films The Man Who Invented Christmas, Lady Bird, and The Disaster Artist.